Grace be with you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning's sermon is written in the fourth chapter of Paul's second letter to the Corinthians as follows. Yet we who have this precious treasure are like common clay pots, to show that the supreme power belongs to God and not to us. We are often troubled, but not crushed. Sometimes in doubt, but never in despair. There are many enemies, but we're never without a friend. And though badly hurt at times, we are not destroyed. At all times, we carry with us in our mortal bodies the death of Jesus, so that his life may also be seen in our bodies. This is the point. In the name of Jesus Christ, our most precious, priceless treasure, my dear friends. Well, it's here again. Another final week. Most of us are starting to prepare for final exams or trying to finish up last-minute papers. Some of you here this morning are writing exams or trying to grade all the papers. If you're anything like I am, you're probably trying to cram about 6 weeks' worth of work into 3 days. It's nice for us when we sit for just a minute and think that within a week we have 10 glorious days, free from studying, writing papers, but final exams stand between us and that hope somewhere off in the future. There's so much to do yet. The pressure is great. Sometimes we might feel overwhelmed by it, and we say to ourselves, I just don't think I'm ever going to get it all done. And this morning, as our country is preparing to celebrate the birth of George Washington, well, frankly, I don't feel much like celebrating. But as Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthians, he knew very well the feelings of doubt and the worries that people are often confronted with by this world, their frustrations, sometimes anger. And the words of our text this morning are addressed to that very thing. So I think it's appropriate that on a cold February morning, in final week, we heed Paul's reminder that Jesus Christ is our priceless treasure, who dwells within us, and for whose sake God sustains us through life's ups and downs. You know, it's popular nowadays to have a high estimation of the human being, to have an elevated self-image. And I think that you here at the seminary are especially susceptible to such temptations. Too often we're tempted to take pride in our eloquence of speech, in our scholarly pursuit, in our depth of understanding, our pious lives, or our particular gifts. So what Paul has to say in our text about humanity, about us, isn't very complimentary at all, because he compares us to earthenware jars, the most common type, peace. A dime a dozen, use the old food goods or for other household needs, and more often than not, they ended up on the garbage pile. Archaeologists of today find thousands of fragments of these clay pots piled up where past generations dumped their trash. That's a pretty bleak picture of us, of humanity. And when we really think about it seriously, we have to admit that we know it's true. It means that there's no real reason for us to think highly of ourselves or to take pride in our accomplishments, because we're weak, like clay pots. And if we're left to ourselves, we would probably end up on the garbage heap. Not long ago, I went into a fruit market, and I saw two young men stacking up watermelons, and they were moving them from one place to another by just passing them rather carelessly back and forth. One wrong move and stuck. It appeared to me that our lives in this world are a lot like those watermelons. These fragile, hopeless clay pots are tossed and buffeted about by life's tragedy. We really are handled roughly by this world, by its setbacks, by its ups and downs. Illness and accidents, dependency on drugs and alcohol, frustration with friends and family, loss of loved ones by death, financial worries, and a host of other depressing realities of life all serve to keep us in a constant state of disorientation. These things also show us that our final exams and our papers are really insignificant by comparison. Pastor Paul in our text says, it's like this, he says, we're in difficulties on all sides. We see no answer to our problems. We're persecuted and not down. We really do live our lives at the breaking point, about to shatter into tiny little pieces. Why don't we break? Paul gives us the answer in the words preceding our text when he says, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God has shone on the face of Christ. In other words, God himself in his wisdom and in his grace has provided the solution to our weaknesses by sending his son. But this has such a peculiar twist to it because the one who came to save became even weaker than those who needed saving. Because although he is the very Son of God, he became the weakest, the most lowly and humble individual in the eyes of the world. He was chased all across the Judean countryside for the better part of 3 years. He was despised by the authorities of that little backwards country and rejected by his own people. He was misunderstood and misinterpreted. He went through pain, humiliation, loneliness, sorrow, fatigue, hunger, thirst, temptation, scorn, and every other hardship that would have brought us to our knees. And then finally, he was dragged before an impromptu court, sentenced to death and harassed. He became even weaker than those clay pots that he had come to save. And as the world watched him die on that cross that day, they surely must have thought that he had been shattered into 1,000 tiny pieces. Stephen Jones was a member of the crew of the Cartier Clear Paul airboat that burned up on Lake Superior a while back. He was in the engine room when the fire broke out, and as he was trying to escape, he was severely burned. But he made his way up to the deck and from there into the icy cold waters of Lake Superior. For 10 minutes he floated there, suspended between life and death. There he appeared to have been lost, and even he himself surely must have thought he was a goner. He wasn't. He was saved. As the world watched Jesus on that cross, it thought he was a goner too. But he wasn't. He wasn't defeated. He wasn't scattered. He triumphed. He rose from the dead in eternal glory. He ascended into the splendors of heaven. That lowly, that dejected, that humble servant has now become our risen and victorious Lord, before whom kings and princes bow and nations tremble. He has become that word of power, as the author to the Hebrew says it. He sits at the right hand of the majesty of God. He has become that priceless treasure of whom we found just a few moments ago, who proclaims redemption and salvation to all the world. And Paul says that we have that treasure within us, that we are the containers that hold it, that Jesus himself dwells within our bodies. The comforting thought for us to know that we carry within our bodies a priceless treasure. But that doesn't automatically mean that our problems cease. The treasure that is within doesn't make the container immune to outside effects. We continue to be fragile, open road guys, and we remain attacked and buffeted about by life's tragedies. But, and here's where the real comfort lies, we don't think. We're like the poplar tree. We bend with the wind, but we don't laugh. Why? Because always, wherever we may be, we carry with us in our bodies the death of Jesus. We manage to make it through life's ups and downs. Paul says it this way, we're in difficulties on all sides, but never cornered. We see no answer to our problems, but never despair. We have been persecuted, never knocked down. Hurt, but never killed. Because always, wherever we may be, we carry with us in our bodies that most precious treasure. And that treasure that we carry within us is renewed within us daily as we draw on God's grace through the Word and through the sacrament. If He stands our value, there's the work of humanity that because of Jesus, we have been put into a relationship with our Father in heaven where He says to us, you called on me in trouble, and I delivered you. The famous death writers of the early American West were noted for the great care that they took in delivering the mail. They used to carry the mail in leather saddlebags. And after having gone through rain and mud and sleet and snow, and after having been dragged from one end of the country to another, these saddlebags got pretty ragged. In and of themselves, they were really nothing more than torn, tattered pieces of leather. But the Pony Express riders protected them with their lives. Not for the sake of the bag, but for the sake of what was inside them. We're like those saddlebags, the tall shows were like earthenware jars. But for the sake of the precious treasure that is within us, we have value. It's important enough for God to watch over us. When the cares, the worries, the frustrations, the anguish of this world press in on us, we are protected by that overwhelming power that comes from God. The Father in heaven, He says to us, not only on a cold winter morning, not only during final weeks, but every single day of our lives, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen.